please center our hearts for our scripture readings. Let us listen for the word. Our first reading is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Please rise. And now receive this reading from the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Hear what the Spirit is saying. We may be seated.
Let the church say amen for that beautiful and powerful anthem. Amen. To God be the glory. Good morning. I greet you with the joy and the love of our Lord. I am so very thankful and blessed to be here at Foundry United Methodist Church. I give thanks to God for the invitation extended to me and the warm hospitality that I have received from your pastors, in particular Pastor Jenny, Pastor Dawn, and Pastor Ben. I am so very thankful to all of the warmth and love that I received from the members from the first service, and I feel your love at this service. Amen? Amen. It is good to be in the house of God here at Foundry United Methodist Church. I want to acknowledge your resident bishop, Bishop Latrell Easterling. I had the wonderful opportunity to speak to her this week, and she offered me her blessings as I was making my way to this pulpit. So I bring you greetings from your bishop, Bishop Easterling. I invite you to pray with me as we consider the theme for this morning's message. Now is the time. Now is the time. Let us pray. Most loving and gracious God, you are truly the giver of every good and perfect gift. For the gift of your love and for the gift of salvation, I say thank you, Lord. For the gift of this time of worship, when we can hear a word from you and can feel the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit to be inspired in our souls and for our living of these days, Lord God, I just say thank you. I ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, for you are our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen. Amen. I want to acknowledge that as I was acknowledging your pastors, I renamed your pastor. I called her Pastor Jenny. Amen. Amen. Charge it to my head and not to my heart. I know that we have the most dynamic lead pastor of this church, Pastor Ginger. Amen. 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 I wanted to correct myself. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We find in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes a very familiar passage of Scripture. verses 1 through 8 make an extravagant claim on the providence and the provision of God. Our God, who sustains our very being, who is everywhere present, all-powerful, all-knowing, transcending all limitations and even time. Ecclesiastes speaks poetically and powerfully about how our God, who loves us in and through every detail of our lives, and how God uses every opportunity, every moment, every setback, every set to create something new in us and through us, and yes, even in spite of us. Our God, who is always working everything together for his good, to manifest his love, his grace, and justice in our lives and in the world. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, there is a season for everything. Let the church say everything. There is a season for everything and a time for every matter under the heaven. Eugene Peterson, the Message translation, says it this way. There's an opportune time to do things and a right time for everything on the earth. So there is always time and time to do the right thing for God and for God's people. Always to do what is just, to do what is merciful, to do what is good that reflects the kingdom in the kingdom of God. Let the church say amen. God is always at work. Always at work, doing something amazing and transformative within and through you, through your life, through your testimony, through your witness, through your gifts, and through your leadership. Do you believe that today? Will you receive that today? God is always at work, working in and through our lives. Every part of the very fiber of our being, making God's ways made known through our very lives. What a gift, what a blessing, but also what a burden of responsibility. Now is the time. It's your time, the opportune time, to live into your divine chosenness. Jesus reminds me, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and to bear fruit, and fruit that will last. The writer of Ecclesiastes uses the metaphor of seasons and time, and most of us can wrap our minds around this concept because we know that the natural world has seasons and rhythms. Say seasons and rhythms. The sun rises and the sun sets. There's rain, there's fog, and there's snow. There's fall and there's winter and there's spring and then there's summer. There's morning, there's afternoon, and then there's evening. There's sowing and harvesting. There's fruitfulness and barrenness. The natural world has seasons and rhythms. And so it is with our very lives. And we are reminded that in our very lives, there are seasons and there are rhythms. A time for planting and a time for uprooting. A time to tear down and there's also a time to do what? Build up. A time when we find ourselves crying, and other times when we can't stop what? Laughing. Times when we're mourning and grieving, but then there's other times when we find ourselves dancing with joy, living and dying. Sometimes holding on, and other times we have to do what? Let go. Times when we know when we need to be silent and be still, and other times when ourselves hating, and we're hating the fact that we can't love. There are times when we are waging war on violence, waging war on injustice, waging war, but there's other times when we're doing what? Waging peace. And even when we cry out, Lord, peace, let your peace be still. There are seasons within our lives. There are spiritual rhythms within our lives. And these seasons are always shifting and changing. But don't we know that even as we go through these seasons and through these rhythms, that life happens? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Events and circumstances that shake us the very core of our being. Things that happen to us and things that we experience that shake the very faith foundation that we stand upon. And sometimes when we're shaken to the core, we can easily become disillusioned. We encounter unavoidable circumstances that we are not always prepared to handle. But thanks be to God that even in the midst of these seasons and rhythms in our lives, when everything within us and around us is changing, we know what is predictable. We know what is trustworthy. We know what is true and what is dependable and what is reliable. The very love and the grace of God that sustains us. That sustains us for the journey. And keep us on how the power of God is at work in us and how the Holy Spirit is always working things for the good for those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. I didn't say that everything is good, because sometimes life just sucks. Good for his greater purposes in our lives and for our witness in the world. But hear this. The reality is that too often we deny, avoid, and even ignore the seasons of our hearts and our lives. Too often we underestimate how pain and injustice and violence and suffering takes a traumatic toll on people's lives. Spiritually, emotionally, and even physically. So traumatic that it tears at the very fabric of our faith, of our families, of our communities, and of this world. And when we deny, and when we avoid, we know that it doesn't just go away. But sometimes what happens is when we deny ourselves our own freedom to be liberated from that which grips our hearts. And we deny the other the opportunity to be authentic and vulnerable in their pain and their suffering. William Sloan Coffin, one of the greatest preachers who ever preached, says this: the longest, most arduous trip in the world is the trip from the head to the heart. And until that round trip is completed, we continue to make casualties out of others and even ourselves. When there's that disconnect, when we're not doing the internal work to do with head and heart, we deny ourselves and others the freedom and the liberation that comes from the power of God being at work in us and through us. And don't we know that when we don't do that work, to save what the Holy Spirit liberates. And it's God's desire that we be free from the things that hold us and grip us, that get in the way of how we relate to one another, so we can be freed up for greater service and outreach and witness. The Word of God has this promise. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for your welfare and not for your harm. The Word of God says that he who has begun a good work in you will do what? Will bring it to completion. Hear this good news. Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, guess what? Consecrated you, and I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. It's our call. But when we're bound and when we deny the fact that we are feeling hindered, we are not as free as we can be to be available to the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. Somebody today needs to hear that. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but I've given you love, I've given you power, and I've given you a sound mind. Now hear this. You didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Now is the time to go and to accept, to live into your divine chosenness and appointedness for such a time as this. Our chosenness and appointedness, if you will, is not limited or defined, thanks be to God, by our status. Because some people don't even have status. But we know in Christ everybody has status. It doesn't matter what your location or your station or what your position is. It doesn't matter whether you've been in the church all of your life or you have just come to Christ. It doesn't matter how many positions you've had and how many committees you've served or how many organizations you've led. What is required is a broken and a contrite heart. One that is available to the power of the Spirit so that God's transforming work in ways can be manifested through your life. Thanks be to God that people don't make all the decisions about our lives. Now granted, I know I'm elected. And I know that it took people and people's confidence in my leadership to elect me. I am honored and I'm humbled by that. But let me tell you, I knew years ago, not for the episcopacy, but I knew that God had already chosen me and appointed me to do God's good work. Now how we get manifested is what God's will is for my life. But this position does not define me. I'm a woman of God first, not bishop. We are. You don't have to have it all together or think you got it all together. That's not what's required. Some of us need to admit that we are still stumbling in the dark and we don't even know what we don't know. But one thing we do know is that I'm loved by God. And I have a desire to give my life to Christ and to be used for his great work and witness in the world. Amen, somebody. My witness. into your divine chosenness and appointedness. Claim who you are in Christ Jesus. The season is always now. Now. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, the right time is always the right time to do what is right. It's always time to do what is right. This is God's time. Sometimes we buy into the mantra. Yes, this is a broken and bruised world, but this is God's world. And God is not through with us yet. Thanks be to God. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are the broken bread and the poured out wine for the world. We are Christ's representatives. If we want things to be different and things to be better, we need not give up on God and we need not give up on each other. This is God's world and God's time, and it's always time to do the right thing. We have a tendency of giving up on people and on circumstances too soon.
Yes.
We do. Before that, people don't get to necessarily decide what my life is, because people would change their mind about me in a minute. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But we serve a God who has claimed, who has chosen, who has appointed each and every one of us for such a time as this. Don't give up on people too soon. Sometimes we think that where people are is where they will always be. I have witnessed amazing transformation. Sometimes we think, well, if it's been broke this long, why fix it, or why even work to fix it, or get tired of trying to work to fix it? What difference will it make? If there was no planting, there would be no harvesting. If there was no pruning, there would be no growth. Let us never give up on God. And let us never give up on each other. We bemoan dysfunctionality, don't we? Within our systems, within our families. But let me dispel a myth this morning. Systems function the way they are designed to function. Hear that. Think about that for a moment. Systems function the way they are designed to function. I contend that the problem is that we've gotten used to dysfunction. Some have grown weary and tired. Some have become comfortable. Some have become complacent. But we have gotten used to dysfunction. Within the church, within our families, within our community, the political system, the educational system, we become too comfortable with dysfunction. But if we want different, then we have to do what? We have to make it different. One basic, fundamental, elementary understanding and definition of insanity. And you know what it is. Doing things the same way, but yet expecting different results. Friends, now is the time. And the time is always right to do what is right, to do what is just, never giving up on God and never giving up on each other. For many years, and some of you have heard this, and we use this language, and I grew up hearing this all of my life, that as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, that my challenge and my task and my responsibility is to make a difference for Christ in the world. Amen? And it is. All of our task and responsibility as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ is to make a difference for Christ in the world. And that's all well and good. But if our ministries are going to impact the world for eternal transformational changes, we must do more than just make a difference, but we are called to be difference makers. And there is a difference. And you probably are wondering and asking, well, what is the difference? And I'm glad you're asking because I've come to share with you what I understand the difference to be. Making a difference is when an opportunity presents itself, and they often do. We seize it and we try to do what? Make a difference. But different makers don't wait for opportunities to show up. They look for opportunities and seize every moment an opportunity to speak truth to power, to lend a helping hand, to advocate for justice, to extend mercy. You don't just wait for somebody to ask you to do something. You see something needs to be done, you seize the opportunity to do it. You don't wait to be asked to show up. When you know folk are gathering for an action or for a cause, you take it upon yourself to go there and show up and be present. That's being a difference maker. There's a difference between making a difference and being a difference maker. Henry David Thoreau, he says this: do not be too moral. You might cheat yourself out of too much life. Morality, do not just be simply good, but be good for something. There are many good pastors and many good people in many churches making a difference in the church and even beyond the church, but being simply good is not going to transform the world. Many good people financially support the church, and we're thankful for the financial support of the church, but simply good is not going to eradicate poverty. Being good, simply making a difference, won't create bold and inclusive churches. Being good won't stamp out racism and sexism and homophobism and classism and xenophobia. Being just simply good is not going to confront violence and racism. Being just simply good is not going to confront evil. Now is the time. Now is the time. It's your time. It's my time. It's our time to be difference makers, to be bold and be courageous, never giving up on God and the power of God's Spirit, but never giving up on each other. I cannot emphasize that enough. We need difference makers in our pulpits, in our pews, who are bold and risk-taking and courageous, walking into their chosenness and their divine appointedness. Hear these words from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 again. Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. Let me hear you say that. Life. In him was life. And the life was the what? The light to all humankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not overcome it. The darkness shall not overcome it. Now is the time. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are the representative, the ones who represent Christ to the world. The light shines in the darkness. In the dark. on each other. The word of God says that God sent his son into the world. Not to do what? To condemn the world. Not to point God's finger at the world to tell the world how bad the world is. But God sent his son into the world so that the world might be saved. That the world might be transformed. That the world might be redeemed. Who are the transformers? Who are the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ? Who's the salt of the earth? Who's the light of the world? The darkness has not overcome it. As long as we are, and as long as God is, the darkness will not overcome the light. A difference maker is one whose life is poured out like a libation, loving and serving and transforming and giving and being the Word of God, reflecting the light, the love, the mercy, and the justice of Christ amid the darkness of this world. Again, in the words of the Reverend Dr. Barbara Brown Taylor, she says this so best and so simply. We are the broken bread and the poured out wine for the world. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I needed a friend, you befriended me. When I needed an advocate, you were there for me. Friends, different makers don't start with what we don't have. We don't start with what our limitations are. Difference makers start with, what does God want from me? What does God want from and for the church? Difference makers don't think small. Difference makers think outside of the box. We dare to dream God's dream. Difference makers are not fearful. Difference makers are faithful. We're not comfortable with what already is. A difference maker is always seeking and seizing what can be. We're not limited by scarcity, but we trust God's amazing abundance. With God as my witness, now is the time to be who you are. Live into your divine chosenness. Live into your divine appointedness. And in your being and in your doing, never give up on God. And I pray that we do not give up on each other. To God be the glory for what God has done, for what God is doing, and even for that which is yet to come. Amen.